This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
De-escalating hostilities. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Thursday, January 9. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is now signaling there would be no more military strikes after tensions between the U.S. and Iran ramped up in the last week.
Following the president's remarks, oil prices plunged. On a related note, stocks finished higher with another record for the Nasdaq.
Some Democratic senators are now calling for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send up the articles of impeachment that she's been holding.
And the next phase for companies that make plant-based meat? Fake pork.
What was announced at the tech event in Las Vegas is that Impossible Foods is going to be introducing what they call impossible pork made from plants, and that Burger King is going to start selling an impossible based sausage sandwich as part of a breakfast offering.
Reporter Jacob Bungie at the Wall Street Journal joins us for a food report. Hostilities with Iran appear to be easing. In remarks yesterday, President Trump hinted there would be no more military strikes by the U.S. after Iran fired more than a dozen missiles harmlessly on Tuesday night at two bases in Iraq that host American forces. Hours later, Iraqi security officials, after the president's comments, said two rockets landed in Baghdad's Green Zone, where the U.S. embassy is located. They said they caused no casualties, and it wasn't clear who had fired them. The president, by the way, also vowed to prevent Iran from obtaining nuclear weapons and said new sanctions would be imposed, but he also reached out to the Iranian people.
We want you to have a future, and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home and harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it.
Meanwhile, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security warned law enforcement agencies yesterday that Iran could carry out physical attacks and cyber attacks against U.S. interests in the near future. Trump administration officials have failed to convince Democrats that an imminent threat had justified the killing of a top Iranian military commander. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and others held classified briefings for all 535 members of Congress yesterday to discuss the drone strike that killed Qasem Soleimani in Iraq last week. Virginia Democrat Senator Tim Kaine.
Was Soleimani a despicable killer? Yes, he was. And is Iran a bad actor? Yes, they are. But the question is, should the United States be at war with Iran? And President Trump, in a series of back and forth escalations in the last 18 months, have brought us to that place.
Following the sessions, most of Mr. Trump's fellow Republicans praised the strike and the presentation. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is an Army combat vet who served in Iraq.
Iran didn't just take an off-ramp, they took a U-turn because they know they have no capability to fight against America.
Meanwhile, House Democrats are planning to vote today on legislation to rein in the president's military power. More reaction now from Jim Banks, congressman from Indiana, who represents the 3rd District in the northeast part of the state, including Fort Wayne. Jim, your reaction to the most recent events.
Well, the good news in all this is that in spite of the strikes on behalf of Iran targeting Iraqi bases, there were no lives of American troops, of our coalition troops, that were affected by those strikes. And there's a school of thought that's emerging that they intentionally missed, and there's a lot of reason to believe that that might be the case. The Iranians know that there would be hell to pay if they cross the red line that this president, President Trump, has drawn, saying that if you kill Americans, then we will lash out, we will strike back, we will retaliate. It's a good thing that they didn't, because that's what none of us want another war in the Middle East to emerge. And this president has been very restrained in how he's dealt with Iran, all the while putting a lot of pressure on them to try to try to affect them to be a normal nation, to be an actor on the world stage who doesn't have the evil intent that we see come out of them on a regular basis.
I was reading something, I think it was in the New York Times, who referenced congressional Democrats who are skeptical of the administration's case for the drone strike that took out General Soleimani. What they're skeptical of what, I guess?
Yeah, it's hard for me to understand that. I mean, this administration has been very clear in articulating a strategy toward Iran from the very beginning of this administration. In the case of Soleimani, I mean, this is a terrorist who had literally had the blood on his hands of an American contractor who was killed last week in Iraq. American troops were also injured from that same attack. Soleimani was in Iraq, even though he was barred from leaving Iran. He was in Iraq, part of the orchestration of events that led to the bombing and the riots at the American embassy in Baghdad. The retaliation toward Soleimani and taking him out was a very appropriate reaction to his 20 years of a number of activities that harmed or caused the death of many American troops and others along the way. So this was completely justified. It was justified by the 2002 Authorization of Military Force that Congress passed back then related to our fight against terrorism in Iraq. And it was justified because this was a preemptive strike against an individual who we know was planning more attacks, an imminent attack on Americans or our interests in that region as well. So the president was entirely warranted in authorizing that strike, and today America is safer off because of it.
We're speaking with Indiana Congressman Jim Banks. Critics of the president have said he has no Iran strategy. Do you believe there's a strategy for Iran?
Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. The president's strategy has been very clear. There's really a three-pronged strategy approach to containing Iran. There's the economic aspect of the strategy. To date, the most significant part of the strategy, the maximum pressure campaign, very tough sanctions in place on Iran that has strangled their economy to a point of collapse. Right now, there's approximately 40% inflation in Iran. Their economy has declined about 10% last year alone. The reason those economic sanctions are so important is because it's drying up the funding that Iran can use to build their nuclear program, and also the dollars that they've traditionally funneled to terrorist proxy groups like Hezbollah, which is what has made Iran the biggest state sponsor of terrorism around the globe. So there's the economic part of the strategy. There's the military part of the strategy.
Thanks, Jim. That's Congressman Jim Banks, who represents Northeast Indiana. It is 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Thursday. Some Senate Democrats are getting anxious over impeachment. They want House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to send over the articles of impeachment against President Trump, saying the party had little to gain from further delay. Among them, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Dianne Feinstein of California, Angus King of Maine, and both Connecticut Senators Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal.
I think we are reaching the point where the articles of impeachment should be sent, and we should have votes on whether witnesses will be called.
Mrs. Pelosi has delayed the sending, saying she wants to know the process for the trial in the Senate. Democrats have pressed for guarantees for new witnesses and documents to be included. A plan by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would delay the determination of whether to include witnesses until after the trial begins. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, the House is set to vote today on a proposal to limit President Trump's ability to take military action against Iran. The vote comes amid intensifying Democratic criticism of the U.S. killing of a top Iranian general. After Trump administration officials met with lawmakers yesterday, Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut was unconvinced that the right steps were taken.
There are serious political consequences to the decision that was made, and we did not get information inside that briefing that there was a specific imminent threat that we were halting through the operation conducted last Thursday night.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says last week's drone strike that killed a top general was provocative and disproportionate. Yesterday, President Trump spoke about the conflict with Iran.
Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world.
Number two, the crew of a Ukrainian jetliner that crashed in Iran never made a radio call for help and was trying to turn back for the airport when the plane went down, according to an initial Iranian report released today on the disaster that killed 176 people. The report suggests a sudden emergency struck the Boeing 737 operated by Ukrainian International Airlines early yesterday morning when it went down just moments after taking off from Tehran. Eyewitnesses described seeing the plane engulfed in flames before crashing. Number three, a federal appeals court says the Trump administration can move forward with plans to use billions of dollars in military construction money to build a long-promised wall along the border with Mexico. The court, based in New Orleans, granted the administration's request to stay the effect of a recent lower court ruling from Texas that blocked the spending. And Gordon, I know you don't care about the royals, but this is the story that everyone is talking about this morning. The decision by the Duke and Duchess of Sussex to step back as senior royals. The BBC says Buckingham Palace was blindsided by the statement from Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Harry and Meghan say they will work to become financially independent. They plan to split their time between the UK and North America while continuing to honor their duty to the Queen, the Commonwealth, and their patronages.
Whoa. So we get more of them here?
Yes.
Are we part of the North America that they'll be visiting?
I think so. She's American.
This is so exciting.
It's very exciting.
It changes everything,
Jen. It does.
22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. After biting into the U.S. burger business, plant-based food makers are targeting pork. Impossible Foods is introducing imitation ground pork and sausage, including a patty for a new sandwich at dozens of Burger King restaurants later this month. Rival Beyond Meat last year began supplying plant-based sausage to Dunkin' and Tim Hortons, mainly for breakfast sandwiches. Jacob Bungie, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has the latest on this quickly changing landscape. Jacob, what's trending?
Well, you're right. I mean, the landscape is just expanded rapidly for these plant-based meat alternatives. And as you know, Gordon, I mean, the narrative so much of the last year and a half has been around the rise of these new plant-based burgers. These are primarily driven by Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat. And both of these companies have their burgers, which are made respectively. Beyond's made primarily from a pea protein. Impossible Foods made from a soy derived protein, and both of these companies now have their burgers in tens of thousands of restaurants across the country, also places like Canada in Asia. And so it's just been one of the most rapid expansions of a new product set like that that the food world has seen in a long time. Now you've got these same companies, Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, applying their technology to other meats. And what was announced at the tech event in Las Vegas is that Impossible Foods is going to be introducing what they call Impossible Pork, made from plants, and that Burger King is going to start selling an Impossible-based sausage sandwich as part of a breakfast offering later on this month in about 140 restaurants.
Wow. Yeah. We're speaking with Jacob Bungie, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Plant-Based Meat Makers Want to Put Fake Pork on Your Fork. I didn't realize, by the way, that pork is the world's most widely consumed meat. So I guess it just seems to present a lot of opportunities here.
Well, especially as both these companies have international ambitions. And, you know, we grew up here in the United States, a very beef-centric culture, although chicken for quite some time has been the most consumed meat in the United States. You know, we tend to think of ourselves oriented around the hamburger and all of that. This derives from the U.S. having a lot of ranching land.
Yeah.
But in other countries, you know, in particular China, pork is a central part of the food culture. And in fact, pork is still the world's most widely consumed meat that could change to chicken here based on consumption patterns. But pork represents a huge opportunity, not just for Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods to sell more stuff as a pork analog or pork replacement, but also, you know, both of these companies have as part of their mission to replace meat consumption with plant-based food consumption as a way to answer the issues that they see with traditional meat production, which is everything you read about from the environmental impact, animal welfare, and so on.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Bungie, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Every year, we make resolutions. Eat healthier, get to the gym, get your finances in order. This year, make a resolution you can actually keep. Earn more money. The Wealthfront Cash Account makes it effortless to earn more on your savings so you can be proud of your financial decisions in 2020. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you earn more interest on your money. They have one of the highest interest rates in the market at 1.82% annual percentage yield. That's 18 times more interest than the national average of 0.1%. With Wealthfront, you can save, plan, invest, and get financial advice all in one place. Right now, you could sign up for the Wealthfront Cash Account in less than 5 minutes by visiting wealthfront.com/Gordon. Go to wealthfront.com/Gordon and start earning 18 times more interest on all your savings. That's wealthfront.com/Gordon. Wealthfront is not a bank. Cash Account is offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Wealthfront conveys funds to partner banks who accept and maintain deposits, provide the interest rate, and provide FDIC insurance. The APY is subject to change.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, January 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The president indicates no more military strikes for now on Iran. House to vote today on limiting Trump's war powers. Another record high close for the NASDAQ. Grubhub might be for sale. After falling sales during the holidays, Macy's is closing 30 stores. The cancer death rate in the U.S. fell by its largest margin ever. 86-year-old Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says she is cancer-free. The deadly Australian wildfires to escalate today. And the 2020 Tip Challenge gains momentum. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Oil prices plunged after President Trump said yesterday he believed Tehran was standing down from its retaliation after the U.S. killed a top Iranian military official last Thursday. That after the price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude oil jumped on the news of that drone strike last week that took out General Qasem Soleimani. Meanwhile, no one is surprised that the price of oil moved after the attack. What's surprising is that it had so little impact. So says Merrill Matthews, resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation in Dallas. Merrill, explain.
You know, one of the most amazing things we've seen is that it has had almost no impact on gasoline prices. Back during the Gulf War in the 1990s, when that happened, gasoline prices more than doubled. Even back in the early 2010s, when tensions rose in the Middle East, we would see gas prices shoot up to, say, $4 a gallon. We have real tensions going on in the Middle East right now, and it's had virtually no effect on gasoline prices. In fact, they're actually down some today. So it's amazing what's happened since the fracking boom has allowed us to increase the supply of natural gas and crude oil so much that we are not held hostage to Middle East policies anymore.
And this is all tied to the shale boom?
Well, I think it mostly is all tied to the shale boom. Back in the early 70s, it had been predicted we had reached what was called peak oil. And the idea was that we had extracted all the easy-to-get oil, and it was going to get so much more expensive in the U.S. to do that, that we were just going to not be able to continue producing a lot of oil. Well, the technology that emerged in the fracking boom, fracking's been around for a long time, but new technology came about along with what was called horizontal drilling. Mm-hmm. You put those together, and around 2007, 2008, we just started massively increasing our production. That has kept prices low, quantities high, and it's really insulated both us and our allies from these oil shocks that occasionally occurred.
So is this the new norm for us, Merrill, that when it comes to some of these tensions, especially in the Middle East, we only see short-term market volatility?
Oh, I think it is become the new norm, and it's just amazing how many countries, the Middle East is in turmoil. Countries that produced a lot of oil, Iran, Iraq, Syria not so much, but it did produce some, and Venezuela. Venezuela was one of our major sources of crude oil, and it's a collapsing country that can't even get its oil out anymore. So even with all that sort of taken offline or limited, we're still able to produce what we need. Our imports are dramatically down. In fact, President Trump is concerned about the balance of trade. One of the reasons why that's improving a little bit is because we're importing so much less oil than we used to. We were, in fact, exporting so much of it. And I suspect it's actually going to get even better. We may eventually move to where renewables sort of take over that place, but we're a long way off from that. Right now, we need a good, sustainable source of energy, and fossil fuels are that source, and we are the world's dominant player in energy today.
Mm. We're speaking with Merrill Matthews, resident scholar for the Institute for Policy Innovation in Dallas. He's written a piece entitled "Middle East Tensions Drive Gas Prices Nowhere." Somewhat related question, but maybe not completely relevant, but what about oil prices in other countries when the U.S. has a dust-up with Tehran like now? So we're not seeing the volatility, but I don't know, what about Europe or parts of Asia? Are they impacted by what's happening with us?
It's a good question, because we go by what's called West Texas Intermediate. That has remained roughly flat. It's actually gone down today. Others tend to go by what's called Brent crude oil, and that has been relatively flat as well. So there are certainly countries that may have some trouble getting things imported or and processed simply because of the tensions that are going on in that area. But it's just not having the impact on the major developed economies that it would otherwise. And that's important because Europe right now is just beginning to bring its head out of a sort of a stagnation that has not been around. If they saw a huge spike in oil prices, it could end up driving it back into a recession, and we don't want that.
Thanks, Merrill. Merrill Matthews, resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. 16 minutes in front of the hour. Mike Gavin is here now with the not-so-breaking news.
Good morning. Well, if we've learned anything recently about etiquette on airlines, it's that taking your shoes off is never, ever a good idea. And then plopping your bare feet down next to someone is even worse. The latest comes from the always fun passenger shaming Instagram account. The short video shows a barefooted passenger's foot laid up on the armrest belonging to the woman sitting in front of him in the window seat. The camera quickly pans over to the woman's face, and she does not appear enthused. She's also seen holding a cup with her left hand, presumably because her right armrest has been commandeered by someone's foot. Instagram users had a lot to say about the shocking airline offense. Some question why nobody spoke up about this, while others wondered what grown adults could do this with no remorse. Others suggested some subtle and not-so-subtle revenge tactics, with one user saying that an accidental spilling of some hot coffee on the bare foot might be in order.
First thing I thought of.
Right?
I'm an awful person. That's the first thing I thought
of. Looks like she had coffee in her hand, this woman, so it would have been real easy for her to do so. Again, accidentally, of course.
Of course.
With another asking if it's a criminal offense to lop off someone's foot in this particular situation.
All right, calm down with that one.
A little too far for you?
But this picture you're painting here, so you essentially got a person in like row 32C.
Yes.
His bare foot is a 31C.
Right, exactly.
On the window armrest. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, with no, I know, didn't say anything about it, just decided this is where I'm going to put my foot today, and no one's going to do anything about it, because I guess we're, you know, on the plane, on planes we try and be polite and not fight each other, because we're in such close quarters.
Isn't that hard, by the way?
To get it through there? Well, I guess if you take your shoes off, it's probably a little easier to sneak your foot through the through that small little crevice there.
I think what's happening is that the rude barefoot plane people are doing things like this, putting a barefoot on the row in front of them.
Right.
So the people who just take their shoes off and stick their feet on the seat back in front of them look normal.
Right. Right.
That's what's happening here.
Yes.
And put their feet all over the, you know, if you have a TV screen on the seat back in front of you, then you look normal.
Yes, we're pushing the boundaries here. At some point, somebody is going to speak up.
That's incredible. What I mean, couldn't flight attendants, in theory, start making these announcements?
Yeah,
into their, you know, don't forget to blow into this tube, and your flotation device is under your seat and all that.
Right.
Oh, and oh, by the way, have courtesy for your fellow passengers. Please keep your shoes on and your feet under the seat.
Yes. If we don't have enough things to worry about safety-wise. Okay. Now we have to include this in our announcements.
I would like to
see
Southwest start to incorporate that. they could be the first ones. Incorporate that into their messaging.
And you can't fault them, Gordon, for trying, though you probably can for thinking they'd get away with it. Two Mississippi men are in hot water this week after trying to scam the state lottery by submitting a losing ticket that had the winning numbers glued onto it. Lottery officials told police that the men presented an altered $100,000 ticket that appeared to have the winning numbers glued onto it. The ticket was signed and presented for payment, with the two men likely not realizing that those tickets have barcodes on them, which are scanned before any money is handed over. Both of the men were arrested and charged with several crimes, including conspiracy and false identification.
Ah, nice going, guys. You know who I heard in my mind when you were reading this story?
Yes.
Who's the one with the duh voice from SpongeBob? Patrick, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
I hear his voice coming out of these two guys' mouths as they're trying to cash in this fake lottery ticket.
Hatching this scheme with that voice.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GORDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Hey, glad you're with us. If you're looking to take a break from drinking in the new year, you might be helping more than just your health. Many Americans would benefit financially from a dry January, according to a new survey. And USA Today says millennials have the most to gain. The survey found that millennials spend about $300 a month on alcohol, or about $56 per outing. That's far less than Gen Xers and baby boomers. Dining out plays a big role in these costs. 58% of millennials surveyed ordered alcohol or an alcoholic beverage when they eat out. Lauren Shawl, a 25-year-old people operations manager, has been taking breaks from drinking over the past 4 years. She says living in San Francisco, you order hummus and a glass of wine, and you've just spent $50. The poll was conducted by the Harris Poll for TD Ameritrade. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Republican Senators Michael Lee of Utah and Rand Paul of Kentucky exoriated a briefing from top Trump administration officials on the targeted drone strike that led to the death of an Iranian general. Lee called it the worst briefing he's received on a military issue in his 9 years in the Senate.
There was a dismissive attitude, one that was displayed in such a way that they resulted in them saying, we can't identify what circumstances in which we would need to come back to Congress to get approval. or authorization. That's antithetical to the Constitution.
Lee says it's not acceptable for officials from the executive branch to tell the Senate that they can't debate and discuss the appropriateness of military intervention against Iran. The House is set to vote today on a measure designed to limit President Trump's military actions regarding Iran. Number two, earlier in the day, President Trump signaled he would not retaliate militarily for Iran's missile strikes on Iraqi bases housing U.S. troops. He seemed intent on de-escalating the crisis.
As we continue to evaluate options in response to Iranian aggression, the United States will immediately impose additional punishing economic sanctions on the Iranian regime.
Number three, the standoff over President Trump's impeachment trial is deepening. As Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, there will be no haggling with Democrats as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi demands more details and witnesses. Some Senate Democrats, including Chris Murphy of Connecticut, say it's time for Pelosi to take action.
I think we are reaching the point where the articles of impeachment should be sent. And we should have votes on whether witnesses will be called.
Elsewhere, a federal appeals court in New York has rejected a motion from the Trump administration to overturn an injunction and allow a controversial immigration policy concerning the use of public benefits to take effect. The administration policy would deny green cards to immigrants over the use of public benefits, including Medicaid, food stamps, and housing vouchers. And science fiction fans, take note, UFO sightings are soaring. The National UFO Reporting Center, which tracks calls and messages from people around the U.S. and Canada about strange sightings in the sky, says it received 5,971 sightings in 2019, a jump from 3,395 in 2018. Sightings include flashing white lights, fireballs, disc-shaped objects, and other oddities. California led the country with the most UFO observations, followed by Florida and Washington.
Do Florida and California really count? I mean, they have launch pads off their coasts.
That
right?
counts.
Can we kind of discount that a little bit?
No, that counts.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
People across the country are tipping their servers a little bit extra in honor of the new year. It's all part of the 2020 Tipping Challenge. The trend began last week in Alpena, Michigan. CNN then says on New Year's Day, former New Kids on the Block singer Donnie Wahlberg surprised Bethany Preventer, his server at IHOP, with a $2,020 tip on a check that was worth $78. Steve Garfield, a writer in Boston, read about Mr. Wahlberg's generous tip. He usually walks to his local Dunkin' in the morning and pays with the app. But on Friday, he made sure to bring a crisp $20 bill for the tip jar. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.